Welcome back to Radio Islam International. It is the weekly Q&A program, and this evening Mufti Yusuf Musaji is answering our queries. The SMS line 48855 in the WhatsApp studio line is 0727861548. The next query reads, if my brother and I go into partnership and then after some time my brother passes away, does the partnership break and his heirs get nothing?
No, so what happens is that once one of the partners pass away, then that partnership comes to an end. So what happens at that point is that the partnership should be dissolved, and what was the rightful share of the brother, that would be given over to his heirs. And after that, if the surviving brother wants to enter into a new partnership with the heirs, then they can then start a new partnership. This is with regards to business. It's not relevant with regards to perhaps a property that was bought. You know, then the heirs will inherit that share of the property. But if there was a business partnership, then that partnership comes to an end, and they're now going to dissolve everything and separate and distribute amongst the heirs.
I received a marriage proposal, not me move this up. My mom asked the Molana and he said the boy is not good. What do I do?
So in marriage, you know, what is very important is to do thorough investigation. To investigate till you're fully satisfied, to ask multiple parties, to get your parents to be convinced also. And once you do that, then after that you do your istikhara. If the mother says that the boy is not good, she's going to present her grounds for it. She can't, you know, just rajman bil ghaib say that, or because of the family background, or because, there's some vendetta between old family feud that may carry on for five generations. That wouldn't be valid grounds. We've got to look at why she's saying that. She should explain herself, and her explanation will be judged by the Sharia. And if it is valid, then that would be acceptable. If it's not, then it wouldn't be acceptable. But nevertheless, under all circumstances, you should always consider the happiness of your parents, because that is where your barakah will come, and that is where you will attain blessings in your marriage.
Okay, the next one reads, when performing sunnah salah, must we read surah Fatiha in a surah or only surah Fatiha?
So when you perform the sunnah salah, then you will read surah Fatiha and a surah in every rakat of the salah. So if it's a four rakat salah, you will read in all four rakats surah Fatiha and a surah. And when selecting a surah, you should select it according to the sequence of the Quran. So you should select in a way that you're going forward. So if you in the first rakat recited perhaps surah Wadduha, then the next rakat surah Alam Nashrah, next rakat surah Wateen, and perhaps in the last rakat Qul Wallahu Ahad, you should maintain the sequence of the Quran also when selecting a surah.
A person came in while Jamaat is being performed and he hears an ayah of sajda being recited. Does he have to perform the sajda?
No, so if he was not in salah, then he doesn't have to perform that ayah of sajda. It will not be compulsory upon him. That wouldn't be, you know, similarly to like listening to it over the radio, and it's a recording. Under those circumstances also, you don't have to make the sajda or the sajda tilawat.
In Taraweeh, if you join in the second rakat, how do you go about completing your salah?
So if you missed one rakat, you simply wait for the imam to make the salam, and then you stand up and you read your salam, and you'll read any surah, any portion that you know or you've memorized, and you will then complete your salah. So you'll stand up, read the sana, read surah Fatiha, read a surah or any portion, then go into ruku, sajda, and complete your salah. What you've missed in that rakat, if it's possible, then at a later stage to then read that in, or otherwise, if it was beyond your reason, your wudu had broken, then we hope that inshallah Allah will grant you still the reward of having listened to the entire khatam and get the reward for completing the khatam in the Taraweeh salah inshallah.
When joining a jamaat in ruku, and as soon as you go into ruku, the imam stands up for qoma, and you don't get a chance to pray your tasbih, does this mean you have missed a rakat?
Yes, that would be the tantamount to missing the rakat. You have to be with the imam in that posture to the extent of one tasbih, where you are totally at ease, and you know you've reached a state of tranquility, in that position and you recite tasbih once, then it would be that you've joined the imam in that. If it is that as you came down, the imam came up, then you should consider that you've missed that rakat.
The next question reads, I have wudu problems. I just managed to read namaz, then make fresh wudu, but when I'm reading Quran, I have problems keeping the wudu. How must I read the Quran? Do I have to make wudu multiple times?
So the ideal would be to make the wudu multiple times. But, you know, we are in winter. It may be difficult for you to make the wudu multiple times. If it is a really serious problem that you can't manage without perhaps having to make wudu 3, 4, 5 times when you're reading Quran, then the one way you can do this is that you have the Quran wrapped up in an item or in a cloth where you don't touch any part of the Quran directly, and you use perhaps something like a pencil or something like that to turn the pages. So if you're sitting down and your wudu is broken, you may be on a bench, then you may continue reading the Quran without touching it. So this is a concession that can be made for, you know, when someone is in a situation like this, then you can utilize this option where the ulama have given a ruksa. So you shouldn't touch. If the cover of the Quran is detachable, then you may touch the cover. But if it's non-detachable, then you may not touch it. Then you should rather have the Quran wrapped in a cloth or a towel, and then you can hold the Quran with that. And in terms of turning the pages, you can use maybe a pencil or pen or anything similar to that.
Is it permissible for the husband to discuss personal matters with his mother that his wife has asked him to keep private?
That is not correct. For the husband and the wife, there should be that privacy. The husband should have his integrity to the extent that he doesn't discuss everything with his mother. There are certain things that will remain between him and his wife, and he shouldn't, you know, despite the close bond with our parents, there should be a certain degree which we then keep away from them in terms of our private matters and what is discussed between the husband and wife. So that is not correct from the on behalf of the husband. And if it is, you know, things that would cause greater problems, then he is basically creating more problems for himself by being so naive to discuss everything.
What is the best method of sending sawab to the marhum if giving charity? Do you make niyat for lillah or sadaqah?
So when you want to pass on reward to the marhumin, what you do is that you can either, you can dig a well and you can make the intention that I'm doing this on for the reward to go to so-and-so. And as long as people benefit from that well, they will get reward. Similarly, you may even you know, go to the Darul Uloom and sponsor a student and say that I'm sponsoring the student on behalf of the marhumin. You make the intention in your mind, and as long as that student is learning the deen and imparting it, the marhum will get reward. You can read Quran, and after you've read the Quran, you can pass the reward on to the marhumin. So there are numerous ways in which one can do this, and the doors are quite vast in this regard. What you do is that you make that intention that I'm passing the reward on, or you may do something that would people would benefit continuously and say that I'm doing this in the name of a particular person, and then that person would benefit. With regards to whether it is sadaqah or lillah, in the instance where, you know, sadaqah and lillah, in the traditional books of fiqh, they classify both as the same. That sadaqah and lillah is one thing. However, the ulama then say that for our understanding, we can say that sadaqah is charity that is given to a particular person, and lillah is more broad, where you give it to the masjid, that it may be used for the renovations of the masjid, to buy new carpets and things like that. So lillah would be even more broad than sadaqah in the context that we usually apply these terms.
If I come late to the masjid and make it for the last rakat, how do I continue the rest of the rakats in a 4-rakat salah?
So if I understand from your question, that is that you were able to perform the 4th rakat with the imam. So you made 1 rakat and now you have 3 rakats outstanding. This would be the instance with Dhuhr, Asr and Isha. What you will do is that you will stand up after the imam has made both his salams. You will stand up, you'll read the sana, you'll read ta'awud, bismillah, you'll read a surah, you'll read Surah Fatiha and you'll read a surah. Then after having completed that rakat, going into sajda, both times you will sit in a tahiyyat and you will read your tahiyyat. And after reading the tahiyyat, you will then stand up. Then you will again begin by reading Surah Fatiha and a surah, and you will go into ruku and complete that rakat and then stand up again. And in the last rakat, you will only recite Surah Fatiha. So that is the sequence in which you will follow in terms of making what we'll say, completing three rakats that were missed.
The next question reads, I know that any discharge released from the womb breaks the wudu. Sometimes there is a presence of white discharge. How do I know if it's from the womb or not? And is my wudu still intact or not?
Yes, so this is with regards to the issue of haiz and related issues. Generally, with regards to that, we would suggest that you send us the email. In terms of a discharge, then that would not be considered. We will have to see if the haiz comes from the womb, but if the discharge has come at the time when you're expecting your haiz, then we'll consider it to be haiz. If it comes and it doesn't continue with that, then we won't consider it to be haiz, and it will simply, the ulama, there's a difference of opinion. Some ulama are saying that it won't break the wudu, some are saying that it would break the wudu. The more cautious thing is that it would break the wudu, but it wouldn't make ghusl compulsory.
Can you read any Arabic dua in sajda in tahajjud and other nafil salah?
No, you can only read those du'as that are found in the Quran and the Sunnah. You can read it in your tahajjud and any nafil salah, even the Sunnah ghair mu'akkada. But it has to be a du'a that is found from the Quran or Sunnah. It shouldn't be a du'a that is similar to what you can ask from mankind. And like you may recall, Mulana, in the books they say, Allahumma zawijni fulanan. Now, or fulanatan. You can't make that type of a du'a because that is what you ask from someone in this world to get me married to someone. So those type of du'as would not be permissible in salah.
My dad has a problem with keeping his wudu. He can barely get through with the salah. What can he do?
So we need to now classify what is the extent of the problem. That if it is to such an extent that if it is flatulence that he experienced or it is continuous drops that he experienced, then if it is so continuous that it encapsulates and it covers an entire salah time, then he will be classified as a ma'zur. And then for him then, as long as that problem recurs once in every salah time, then he will simply then make a fresh wudu at the beginning of the salah time, and he will then perform whatever ibadah he needs in that salah time, and on the expiry of that salah time, his wudu will break, and he will have to make a new wudu for the next salah time. That is, if the problem is so continuous that it encapsulates, it covers an entire salah time, say from Asr till Maghrib, that he doesn't find even 5 minutes where he can perform the salah without his wudu breaking. But if it isn't to that extent, where it's to a lesser extent, then he has to continue refreshing with wudu and performing the salah. If it breaks during the salah, he should then go and make it. This would be, we'll consider it as a challenge that Allah has put out to him, a test, and if he complies with it and he does it to the best of his ability, he will be rewarded abundantly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
If someone passes away and had debts and the children try to pay it off, and after winding up the estate, he gets paid out from an old mutual policy. Can they use this to pay it off?
So we don't know what details of the policy and what does the policy entail. There are certain details that need to be shared in terms of how did he enter into this policy. Was it something compulsory by the company? Did the company take it out on behalf of him? Or was it something that he voluntarily got involved in? Also, what was his contribution to it? Generally, if it was that the company did it on his behalf and they paid out on his debt, then it would be a gift. Similarly, if it was something that he paid maybe over the years, 500,000, they just collect that amount, then that would also be permissible for them to use. But if it's something where he had voluntarily got involved in this policy, and he may have only contributed 100,000, now he's getting R1 million back, then we would say that that is interest money, the 900,000, and interest money, that is to, you should get rid of it, and you shouldn't utilize it in any way, take any benefit from it. This debts that he has are legitimate debts, and therefore you should utilize pure and halal money to pay that debts out.
Sabi, it is really coming close. The next question reads, is it permissible for a couple to kiss while they are fasting?
As you say, Mulana, that we're coming close, and we're coming close towards the end of Ramadan, so it seems as though people are becoming okay, but impatient. So in when we say that when they ask what kiss, we've got to actually clarify, you cannot swallow the saliva of another person, that would break the fast. But if you're talking of just picking on the cheek, on the lip or anything like that, it would be permissible, but it's more so for a person who is of the age where he can control himself. And if he's not of that age where he can control, people are usually, you know, in the initial years of marriage, the slightest interaction may spark something that may lead to something bigger, and that would be of serious consequences. Well, on the lighter note, I've seen a picture of a, some sort of a cartoon being circulated of a lady with a barbed wire around her bed. And, you know, that is to avoid any sort of interaction. So one should also know themselves and try to take precaution. And if you are convinced that nothing further would happen, then it would be permissible, provided that there's no exchange of saliva and swallowing of that.
Maybe the brother just came back from Jamaat. Jee, Mufti Sahib, the next one reads, while performing Salat with Tasbih, some Tasbih were mistakenly left out. Is there Sajda to Sahw for this? And should the Tasbih be recited in Sajda to Sahw?
No, there's no Sajda to Sahw for that. Then that is a particular Salah. So you've completed that Salah. And we make dua that inshallah it will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have time again, you can do it again and try to observe it in the correct manner.
In Fard Salah, Mufti Sahib, in the third and fourth rakat, do one read Surah Fatiha and Surah?
In the Fard Salah, you will only read Surah Fatiha in the third and fourth rakat. There will be no Surah that will be recited in the third and fourth rakat.
Can a woman pierce her belly?
Now, in terms of piercing your belly, you know, what you need to think of as a lady is that the impact that it will leave at a later stage, the fact that you are going to give birth, that your children will see that at a later stage, and the mark that it will leave. So this is something that we wouldn't advise. What the ulama have allowed is for you to pierce your ear, and if you want to pierce the nose, that would also be allowed. But beyond that, we wouldn't advise a lady to pierce any part of the body, someone to pierce the tongue, someone to pierce the side. I even seen someone with a ring into the cheek. So all these things, these are foreign things, and we shouldn't get influenced by that.
Can a lady apply mascara?
A lady may apply mascara, and there's no problem with that, but it shouldn't be done when she's leaving the home, because that would be to draw attention. Even if she's in wearing the niqab, there it may be viewable through the you know the eye area. Therefore, she shouldn't wear that while leaving the home.
Tisab, Jazakallah khairan for joining us this evening. It has been a real pleasure, mashallah. We've learned a lot also, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, Tisab.
Mullah, I see that the other night we stopped at 10 on the dot, so the advice for the Mustab time, we just a few moments before that, I'll accept, and we request the du'as of the listeners. Also, what we will be having on Sunday morning is a dedicated Eid-related Q&A, and the listeners can send any related questions on Eid-related issues, whether it is with regards to the Eid Salah itself or anything. They may send it through to us, and we will respond to it on Sunday morning between 9 and 10, inshallah.
10 o'clock on the dot. Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.